I'll read next from Proverbs chapter 9, 1 through 18. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat, mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who like judgment. "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave." Let us pray. O Lord, who gives wisdom, through the preaching of your word today, instruct us that we may be wiser in how to follow your will and your way, the way of Christ in our lives. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, it's Sunday morning and the table is set. No, that doesn't mean we're having a fellowship meal after church today. Not even cake in the foyer this time. If you hang in there a couple of weeks, like you heard earlier, it'll be time for our church picnic. So that's coming up. Rather, what I mean is that thanks to Jerry Webb, the table is set, prepared for us to come later on and partake in the Lord's Supper. And in today's scripture passage, there's another woman who has prepared a table. Her name isn't Jerry. Her name is Wisdom. Wisdom. And she's eager to have us come and enjoy what she's prepared for us. Notice that she's not selective about her guest list. She basically welcomes anyone and everyone who wants to come. You don't have to be among the wealthy or the elite, those with less education or those with fewer resources. They have a place at this table too. And notice as well that there are no worries about space. Wisdom's new house, which has been constructed, has plenty of square footage in it. It's large enough to accommodate all her guests. She spared no expense on the construction. She spared no expense on the menu. There's plenty of wine, we're told, plenty of meat. Those are the kinds of food and drink that ordinary folks in that day and time wouldn't have had access to, wouldn't have been able to afford. But Wisdom is generous. She's generous with her resources. She's generous with her invitation here, her call to come. So she gets onto social media and sends out the invitation, and pretty soon there are notifications popping up on everybody's phone. Housewarming party at Wisdom's place. Come one, come all. is the invitation. This isn't really an invitation, as it turns out, to fill your stomach. It's actually a summons to be satisfied with the knowledge of God. Wisdom states it well in verse 6. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. That verb walk reminds us that what we're dealing with here isn't primarily a body of information, but a way of living in the world. Understanding is being offered to us. Understanding is on the menu, but this understanding isn't primarily about getting your mind wrapped around God's will, but most of all, getting your life in line with God's will, the way that you actually live and conduct yourself. We value knowledge, don't we? We value information. We value especially data in our day and time. Even in the early 1990s, there was one writer who was commenting, the very amount of information that computers make available threatens us with cognitive overload. Maybe some of you experienced that part of cognitive overload. Overwhelmed with facts, people tend to mistake data for truth, and those aren't always the same, or mistake knowledge for wisdom. Those aren't always the same. And then she went on to quote another author who said, infomania erodes our capacity for significance. Our minds are fixed on information. Our attention spans shorten. We collect fragments. We get poorer in certain ways. We get richer at information and knowledge and data, but in some ways we get poorer about how to put all that into some frame of meaning and purpose and significance in life. Now, don't get me wrong, processing data and analyzing information, these kinds of things are important and valuable, but wisdom, which is on offer to us in our scripture passage here today, wisdom is about being able to go beyond just mastering the facts. It's about being able to gather what we know, what we learn, and being able, like I said, to put it into some larger picture or story or frame of purpose and meaning and significance. And that, in turn, shapes our attitudes and our actions, which means that lots of times the outcome of processing knowledge and information and data, the outcome isn't so much just more information. Hopefully, for the believer, it's a way of living, a way of conducting ourselves in the world. I like the way that one Old Testament scholar named Ellen Davis puts it when she says that wisdom is this. Wisdom is living in the world in such a way that God and God's intentions for the world are acknowledged in all that we do. Let's hear that again. Living in the world in such a way that God and God's intentions for the world are acknowledged in all that we do. Now, that kind of knowledge isn't necessarily determined, is it, by your SAT score or your IQ or your level of education. It's more, we're told, a function of the orientation of your heart. And the fundamental orientation of the heart is captured in the book of Proverbs by this phrase, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. It's repeated there in verse 10 of today's text. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord. Now, there are lots of proposals about exactly what that phrase means, a whole range of interpretations, but I think that at the core of it is a sense of awe and reverence toward God, recognizing that God is so much greater than we are. The fear of the Lord means being aware that we're created by God, that we're dependent upon God, that we live in God's world. God has a will and a way and a purpose for us. Fear of the Lord means acknowledging God, taking seriously our accountability to God for our lives. I like the way that someone else has put it when they said, this fear of the Lord. This fear is not the fear that makes us run away. Not that kind of fear. It's the fear that makes us pay attention and listen. The fear of the Lord, attentiveness to God. The fear of the Lord is grounded in humility, and humility generates an openness to God and an attentiveness, receptiveness to God's word and instruction in our lives, not simply so that we may know the Lord's teaching. That's part of it, an important part of it. But most of all, so that we may live the Lord's teaching. That's where wisdom comes in, when it's actually put into practice. After all, wisdom isn't wisdom, we're told, unless it leads to an actual life that's shaped by God's will. That's wisdom. And that's, I believe, at the heart of why you're here today. I assume you didn't come here simply to download more scriptural information or add to your Bible knowledge base, though those can be good things in and of themselves. You didn't come just to accumulate more experience in how the church goes about things and does things. You didn't come here just so you'd be able to say that you've done your Sunday duty and fulfilled your responsibilities. All those kinds of things can be good and important, but hopefully you've come primarily because you want to know what's good in God's eyes. And how can I do good in God's world and live wisely, be a wise person? And living wisely requires an appetite, doesn't it? An appetite for the word of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, the teaching of the Lord. Several years ago, the British Weekly published a provocative letter that said, "Dear Sir, it seems ministers feel their sermons are very important and spend a great deal of time preparing them. I've been attending church quite regularly for 30 years, and I've probably heard 3,000 of them. To my consternation, I discovered I cannot remember a single sermon. I wonder if a minister's time might be more profitably spent on something else." Well, for weeks there was a storm of editorial letters in response, and it was all ended by this letter, which said, "Dear Sir, I've been married for 30 years. During that time, I have eaten 32,850 meals, mostly my wife's cooking. Suddenly, I have discovered I cannot remember the menu of a single meal. And yet, I have the distinct impression that without them, I would have starved to death long ago. Every Sunday is an opportunity for you to accept wisdom's invitation to come and take a place at the table and feed on the word of the Lord, enjoy a generous portion of God's instruction. And I realize that my sermon isn't the only way that you feed on the word of the Lord in your life and that instruction, and that Sunday isn't the only day when wisdom throws open her doors and invites you to come in and be instructed. You have other ways of showing up at wisdom's party during the rest of the week, in addition to on Sundays, ways like observing what God is trying to show you in your life from day to day, listening to what God is trying to say to you daily in your life, being open to what God's trying to teach you from experience in your life as well. These kinds of ways that you say yes to wisdom's invitation. And whatever ways you have an opportunity to practice the fear of the Lord and acquire wisdom, the main thing is that you say yes to the right invitation. After all, according to today's text, wisdom isn't the only one trying to invite you in, is she? Look at the whole chapter here in Proverbs today. There's another house with another meal, and this one is being hosted by folly, aka foolishness. And notice that Folly's offering the same basic invitation. Come on in. There's plenty of room here. You're welcome at this table. Same basic invitation. But Folly, we're told in the text, isn't serving meat and wine. Instead, serving bread and water. So those are sure signs that whereas wisdom is calling you onto a path that leads to flourishing and leads to life as God intends it, folly is trying to lure you onto a path that leads to death, destruction, separation from God and God's will and purpose. Isn't it true that in many ways each day you and I encounter situations and circumstances and events and relationships and experiences where you have to discern between what is the wise thing to do and what is the foolish thing to do? Those options laid out before us. You have to distinguish, to be able to distinguish between the path of wisdom and the path of folly. In other words, you have to be able to discern which invitation to accept and which invitations to say no to and to decline as well. The invitation that helps bring you closer to God and more in line with God's will, or the other invitations that may summon you into ways that cause you to drift away from God or grow more distant from God or grow more out of line with His will. These invitations that come in different ways on a daily basis in all kinds of situations to say yes to wisdom or yes to foolishness, to choose wisely and live wisely. And I think that as you and I strive daily to discern the difference between wisdom and foolishness, between those invitations that come at us in different ways, you need the Lord's guidance and instruction, and I need the Lord's guidance and instruction. It comes to us in all kinds of forms, doesn't it? In Scripture, especially as it's preached and taught, as well as ways during the rest of the week when you open up the Scriptures to explore and search for yourself in daily devotions, privately or in small groups, through Scripture, through prayer, as you open your heart and mind to be attentive to what God is saying to you as well, through experience, as you remember and look back and examine what you've seen or heard or been through and try to learn from experience and grow wiser in that way, the moments and events of your life. So through Scripture, prayer, and experience, through worship, individually or privately, or especially congregational worship like we're involved with here today, and especially too, through the life of the community of believers together, in all the ways that we share our lives together in the church, the fact is we need each other's help in order to be able to discern what's wise and what's foolish. Which way do I need to go? Which way do I need to not go? What invitation do I need to say yes to? Or what invitation say no to? We need each other's help to discern and do what's wise. So when we look at this Proverbs chapter here today, I think it's a good reminder to us that if wisdom's invitation is an invitation inside, to the table, to a meal, then in many ways we really do in our lives become what we eat, don't we? Consuming wisdom or consuming foolishness, becoming these things in our lives. That's part of what I think is signified by the Lord's table prepared for us here today. The table is set. Remember that it's not meant to be a meal eaten in solitude. The invitation is to all who know the Lord Jesus to come and eat, be satisfied, enjoy fellowship with the Lord and with the Lord's people. After all, from a Christian perspective, doesn't a lot of it come down to the fact that wisdom isn't just a body of knowledge? It's not just a set of data. It's not just a tradition that's transmitted on. For Christians, wisdom is most of all a person, Jesus Christ, who is the embodiment and the revelation of God's wisdom to us. Wisdom ultimately is a person, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. So that wisdom basically means being joined to Christ by faith. Being a wise person means being joined to Christ by faith and becoming more like him in your life. Being joined to Christ by faith and becoming more like him in your life. That really, I think, is ultimately the way of understanding and how you walk in the way of understanding and truly, really live. Live. Let's pray. God who gives wisdom, thank you for all the ways that you offer it to us in our lives, especially through scripture and prayer and experience and worship and the community of believers. Show us each day in all the circumstances of our lives the way of wisdom. Help us to be able to discern in our particular lives, individually and together, what it means to be a wise person and to live wisely, to know what's good and to do what's good in your world. We pray for your guidance each day to know how to fear you and walk in the way of understanding and truly live. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.